On chapel days, it's usually just me or Pastor Aaron with a guitar, and it doesn't sound that good. So we're very blessed. Thanks, team. Hey, good morning, St. Luke's. And welcome to each and every one of you, especially if you're kind of with us for the first time or first time in a while. I'm Pastor Dan. I've gotten to serve here as lead pastor at St. Luke's for just about a year now, and it's a joy to be here. For the past 28 weeks, as a congregation, we've been going through the story of the Bible. There are books in front of you in those little racks. There are some white ones that look like this, and they say the story on it. And what it is it's a kind of a pared-down Bible that takes us through the plot. Lots of people look to the Bible for lots of different things. Sometimes we look at the Bible to teach us rules and how to live, and sometimes we look at the Bible for kind of ancient wisdom or deep spiritual truths. But we believe the Bible is most centrally and at its essence, it's a love story about God sending his son to rescue and fix this broken world that we live in. And so we're 28 chapters in, and so today we're in chapter 28. It starts on page 389, And what we see in chapter 28 is the church going out and sharing the message that God has given to us to share. And as I was reading chapter 28 this week, it reminded me of something a teacher of mine used to say. So you guys have your teacher sitting in the rows with you, but did you know you get to keep going to school even after preschool? And even after kindergarten, and even after first grade, and even after second grade, and even after third grade. And some of us go to school for like 20 years. And then we pay for that for like 10 more years. So that's what I did. And when I was in school, probably my third or fourth year after high school, I had a Hebrew professor who used to say, he had a phrase, he said this, boys and girls, can you repeat after me? Can you say repetition? He used to say repetition is the mother of learning. Can you say learning? Yeah. He used to say repetition is the mother of learning, and what that meant was for us to learn, we have to hear things over and over again. So teaching my kids to say please and thank you is a little more complicated than one time saying, hey, just so you know, you should say please and thank you, then I check the box as a parent. No, you have like 18 years. You know, maybe the first two or three, they're not really listening, but then you've got like 15 solid years to say, I didn't hear a please, or I didn't hear a thank you. And it just, you got to hammer it over and over and over and over and over again. And you think they got it, and then they don't. And then you got to just do it over and over and over again. And it's exhausting. And I start to sound like my dad sometimes, you know, like, I'm not just talking to hear myself speak, Dan. I heard that a lot. He called me Danny, though. Danny, I'm not just talking to hear myself. You know, you got to say the same thing over and over. Well, that's true of little people, and it's true of grown-ups, and it's true of really all of us, that for something to sink in, we've got to hear it over and over again, and it's got to be more and more concrete. So here's what we're going to do this morning. In the maybe 10, 15 minutes that I'm going to be up here, I want to tell you the same story that the early church told over and over and over again. And boys and girls, I'm going to have some pictures, some little shapes up there. And my challenge to our preschoolers, all of my 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 5- and 6-year-olds, is I want you to look at the shapes when they come up, and after church, maybe today or on the way home, see if you can remember all these 6 different shapes and what they remind us of. So here's what it looks like. The very first phrase and shape is Jesus came. You see that arrow pointing down? See that shape? That reminds us that Jesus came. Jesus came from a city called Nazareth. Jesus came from all the way up in heaven where he was with the Father. Jesus came to earth. He came down and he did all kinds of things. He taught people and he healed people and he did amazing things that nobody ever seen before. Jesus came from heaven, from Nazareth. He came because God promised he would come. He came according to what God said in the Bible before Jesus came, and he came on purpose. And we see that in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2. Now the grown-ups can have some words. We still got the arrow for the kids. You see the down arrow? Kids, can you say Jesus came? Jesus came. So Jesus came, and we see that in Acts chapter 2, or if you follow along in the story, here's what it says in Acts chapter 2 about Jesus coming. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Whenever the church talked about Jesus, wherever they went, the first thing they said was, there was a guy named Jesus. That's where the message starts. Jesus came. So Jesus came, and then the next one is Jesus died. Boys and girls, can you say Jesus died? And we see that cross there to remind us that Jesus died on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died to take away all of our sins. He died to forgive us of all the things that we do wrong, like when our moms and dads or teachers say something we don't always obey, or when we don't always have kind words for each other. And, you know, embarrassingly, it's not just the kids that's true for. Kids grow up and they become grown-ups who don't always say nice things and don't always do what we're supposed to. And Jesus didn't just die for the little children, but he died for the old children and the grumpy children and the senior citizens among us. And for every single one of you, if your mess is half as bad as mine, this is amazing news that we don't have to take the punishment for all the wrong that we deserved. And we see that in Peter's sermon, Acts 2:20 continues. It says, this man, this Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. This was no accident. This was God's rescue mission. So boys and girls, can you say Jesus came?
Jesus came.
Jesus died. And then the next part is Jesus rose. He's alive again. So that's kind of looks like a rainbow, but that's a picture of an empty grave where they put Jesus' body in a grave and they rolled a big stone in front of it because he was dead. But 3 days later, Jesus rose and he's alive. And when Jesus came back to life, that means that all of us who trust in Jesus, we can live forever too. And our grandmas and grandpas, our moms and dads, or our brothers and sisters and people that we love who have died before us, just like Jesus walked out of the grave and was alive, we get to live forever in him. And so Peter continues in his sermon in Acts chapter 2. He says, but God raised him. God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony, the pain of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Jesus rose because God the Father raised him to new life, and Jesus is so full of life. Have you seen flowers right now around your house and neighborhoods? There's a lot of flowers, and I've seen a lot of bunnies, and I've seen raccoons recently, and a lot of squirrels, and birds, and hummingbirds, and everywhere you look, there's just life. And Jesus is so full of life that even when he was dead in the grave, he rose again so that we could have life in him. So boys and girls, repeat after me. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Now this next one is Jesus went. Can you say Jesus went? Now the fancy grown-up word is we say that he ascended. But that just means he went up. Jesus went back to God. After he was raised from the dead, he went back up to the Father. And one day Jesus was talking with his disciples, and while they were talking, imagine this, boys and girls, imagine. Can you picture this? He was talking to them, and pretty soon, Jesus' feet started to lift up off the ground. It's like a jump, but instead of coming back down, he just went up and up and up and up, and the disciples watched him go up and up and up and up and up and way up into the clouds. And they actually saw with their own eyes. And here's what the Bible says about that. It says that Jesus, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus went up, he went back to the Father, and he sat down. Because his job was done. It's like me after church. I'm going to go take a nap. Because my job will be done. Jesus went up to heaven and he sat down. Ah, because his job was done. When he died on the cross, that took care of all of our bad stuff. And when he rose from the grave, that means that we can all have life in him, and there's nothing left to do. It is finished. His job was done. So repeat after me. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus went. And this next one is Jesus sends. Can you say sends? Like when you send something in the mail or you send a present. When Jesus went up to the Father in heaven, he sends his Holy Spirit. Do you see all these candles up here? Isn't that awesome? Now, normally on a Sunday, we just have one or two. And during our chapel days, we usually let the kindergartners help light our candles for us. But today, we didn't ask you to light the candles. If I had Amir up here lighting candles, Amir, it would have taken you all day, buddy, right? It would have been a long time to light all those candles. But it reminds us of a time when after Jesus went up to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And there were little flames like on people's heads. And even though everyone spoke different languages, they could all hear. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah.
And can you understand me?
Yeah.
Because we're speaking the same language. But on that day called Pentecost, God spoke and everyone, even if they spoke different languages, they could hear. And so Jesus sends his Spirit. He sends love and he sends grace and he sends hope. And we see that here in the book of Acts in chapter 2 when Jesus says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord calls to himself." That's what God sends. He sends his love. So Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus went. Jesus sends. And then the last one is Jesus will return. Jesus will return. That means that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to make everything new and he's going to make everything perfect. And it says it in the Bible like this, that this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven. Remember, the disciples are watching him go up, 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 up. They were standing there looking. And Jesus went in the clouds. And they couldn't see him anymore. And they just stood there like, well, I guess this is what we do now. I guess we just look up. Maybe I'll get like a pillow so this doesn't hurt so much. And they were just standing there looking up until an angel came and he says this. He says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? What are you guys doing? The same Jesus who has been taken from you will come back in the same way you've seen him." The angel said, "Look, we've got work to do, people. Don't just stand here looking up into the sky. We've got work to do." He says, "This message of life and love in Jesus is too good. We can't keep it to ourselves. We got to share it. We got to teach it to our kids and to our grandmas and to our moms and our brothers. And everybody around us needs to hear this amazing message." And so that's why we're here. We've got a message of life to share. A very simple message. And if we go to the next slide. Boys and girls, can you remember those shapes? Can we say them all together this time? You ready? Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus went. Jesus sends. Jesus will return. Now, you don't have to go to seminary to do that. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew to do that. You don't have to be a full-time church worker to do that. You don't have to know random weird parts of the Bible, like why does it say this in Ezekiel and who are these people? You don't have to know it. The first disciples were a bunch of smelly fishermen. They stunk. And they weren't very smart. And they made a lot of mistakes. But Jesus said, "Hey, go and tell my message." And so they went, "Okay. Where do I start?" Well, Jesus came. And Jesus died, and Jesus rose, and Jesus went, and he sends, and he will return. And you know what happened? Thousands and thousands of people said, "I want to be baptized. What does it look like to believe that? How do we do this? And the disciples were like, we didn't think that was going to work. And it works. Not because of their eloquence, not because they were so smart, not because they had it figured out. It works because the same Spirit of God that is alive today lived in their hearts and gave life to their message. And so we've got work to do. We can look at the clouds and we can wonder, God, when are you coming back? Why is there another shooting? When is this going to happen? Why doesn't my spouse talk to me? When will this illness go away? And there's lots of things to cry out to God about and to pray about, but we are waiting for that last day, and in between, we've got work to do. And you can do that. And so whether you're a kid or a parent or just a single person here, I challenge you later tonight, see if you can remember that. See if you can rehearse that. Maybe practice on the way home. Repetition is the mother of learning, and it's that easy. So I pray that the Spirit of God would enliven us and send us from this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, boys and girls.